Series 2, Episode 27 and 28 of the Ricky Gervais Show on XFM, the best ofs. So today, we are jumping straight to Episode 29. I'm David Ferrier.
With Stephen Merchant.
Zach, what's your Heat Magazine-style headline for this show?
XFM investigates HR incident. Staff member blasted for being away sick.
One of your best, Zach. Well done.
I kind of had a gist and I was like, oh, come to me in the moment. It didn't.
You're back to yourself.
My brain let me down.
And you shouldn't have.
The point was that a lot of things that Ricky does to Carl in this one is like, under different framework, this could be a problem.
It'd be hugely. But it's also a story arc. It's the first story arc on the show.
This was, from a radio point of view, probably the worst episode. It could be some of the worst radio I've ever heard.
Really?
From an entertainment point of view, it was highly entertaining.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean? So it's like, you know, they had so little to talk about that the first 40 minutes are talking about how they can't get Carl on the phone. And then the last 10 minutes is Carl over multiple links or breaks just doing the we've got him on the phone now. Hey, Carl, we can finally do all the things we wanted to do.
That's how far they've descended, even though they... Well, I wonder if they got the call that morning. I wonder how far in advance they had to prepare a Carl the show, because it sounds like he might have just called in sick.
They mentioned the day before.
Yeah,
they mentioned that he lined up Claire. So
Claire Sturges is in. She says that he sounded poorly when she spoke to him.
I guess there's... did you chart, by the way, how many different expressions for sick they used? Poorly, ropey was a new one. I'd never heard ropey before. Yeah, I felt a bit ropey yesterday.
Right, ropey.
But yeah, I guess there's two kind of graphs. It's like how technically good radio is. Sometimes you can be really poor technical radio and not entertaining. That's a really bad show. But sometimes you can be like poor technically, but entertaining. And that's what I put this episode as.
I love Steve's story about his passport failure.
That's what they lead with. And that's really the only thing they had.
But how cool, this is your first time listening. Did your ears perk up when they said, oh, we went to America, which by the way means that the last 2 weeks were planned.
Yes, true.
At the end of the last show, they're like, I think we need 2 weeks off.
That's so that was a bit of a contrived bit. Ricky did a little bit of pantomime there.
Yeah. They've gone to, that they went to LA to talk about doing the office for the US.
There's rarely things that date the show. Do you know what I mean? Because we mentioned last week how they don't mention a lot about, every now and then, but they don't mention a lot about what's going on in the world.
The biggest protests ever
But they don't mention what
recorded
it is
human history. They mentioned it once.
Have any commentary or whatever. This was like, I felt like I was listening to like a uncovered time capsule or something, like a piece of history. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like the US office didn't exist and they were... I think they're left out of that conversation a little bit, Ricky and Steve.
Which conversation?
The success of the American office, because they're often pitted against each other, whereas they both came from Ricky and Steve. Do you get what I mean? Mm. Like, obviously, the American one went on to be something different. But, you know, they're in these early conversations. If it wasn't for that, it never happens.
Mm. It seems lost now. I remember around the time that the office was on, all the talk was about how many international versions there were, remember?
Mm.
It was like there was a French one.
An Indian one, I think.
There was a French one where instead of putting it in jelly, it was in cheese. I was like, surely not, but it's
seems
true.
Like a offensive
leaning into stereotypes. There's like an Israeli version. There's all kinds of versions. I remember I used to read Ricky Gervais's blog. Did anyone else used to go to Ricky Gervais's blog? That's before he had Twitter.
Yeah.
He started a blog when he was making The Invention of Lying, and I loved it.
Well, wasn't Twitter originally kind of pitched as like microblogging?
And Ricky got on for a bit and went, actually, Twitter's not for me. I've got a blog. I get a million hits a month. That's fine. But he would upload every day. He'd post photos because, like, that movie, The Invention of Lying, has just, like, cameos galore. And he would post about it every single day. And occasionally it would be like, oh, they just announced a new version of The Office in blah, blah, blah. That makes nine versions. Which also has just reminded me, we did talk about it briefly, but I just remember, aren't they making an Australian one now?
Of The Office?
No.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm sure we've talked about it.
No, I haven't spoken to you about this at all.
No, I'm pretty certain they are making an Australian version of The Office right now.
No, they're not.
It's the perfect
time. Is this like a big lead up to, like, I don't know who I'm talking to anymore. Like, is this a joke? Are you trying to...
Reports are swirling that Australia will soon have its own version of the popular comedy series The Office. 20 years later, it's a perfect amount of time to wait.
No, that can't be right.
The Office Australia, there's an IMDb page. It's believed the sitcom, which boasts UK and US versions, will get an all-Aussie makeover for Amazon Prime. Sources confirm that casting is currently underway for the project, which is expected to film in Sydney mid-year.
Wow. Okay, here's what we got. Neither of us got the call up. Obviously, it's already filming.
They're filming King Kong versus Godzilla 2 here at the moment.
Who could have we played in The Office? Do you see yourself as a Jim or a Tim? Well, who is it? Kim in Australia? We've had Tim, Jim.
There'll be a Sharon.
Yeah.
They might just take Sharon Strzelecki from Kath and Kim and plant her in The Office.
Here's the countries that have done it. Canada did their own version.
Great.
Chile, Czech Republic, Finland, France, Germany, India, Israel, Poland, Sweden, United Kingdom, and United States.
The United Kingdom did their own version.
Yeah.
That could be interesting to look up. At least just a clip of each one.
It's so interesting though, isn't it, that it's such a broad... obviously the original one was very specific, but the general concept is very broad. It's just like what goes on in an office. And they kind of got to own that because they were so early to it. So now whenever one does a situation comedy in an office, it's like, okay, well, we've got to pay Ricky and Steve.
It's evidence of the universality of the idea, you know? Well, everyone knows what it's like.
Yeah,
well,
all those
work.
Countries, yeah, obviously, it's like, oh, everyone has an office. Everyone works. Isn't that kind of weird that everyone works the exact same way? Like, that everyone's in cubicles? And like everyone speaks different languages and have different cultures, but we're all sitting at tables in cubicles.
Is there anything else like that that hasn't been tapped into yet that we could do? The home.
Well, I guess that's why they do a lot of like, there's a lot of like stuff about relationships and in-laws and things like that. Because maybe that's, I know culturally.
There's a million family sitcoms,
But like they did a Russian version of Always Sunny. Have you ever seen any clips of that?
No.
Fascinating.
Tell me more about it.
Well, there's an episode where the big thing is, I believe, I haven't thought about this in 10 years, but I believe one of them gets a gun. You know how all the episodes are like, Charlie gets a gun or something like
that?
Yeah. And the Russian one had to be changed because they couldn't understand what the issue was, like why everyone was like... they're like, why? I think that's what it was. I think it was a gun. But it was just like culturally, I forget what it was. And then also when, have you seen Selling Raymond? I haven't seen it. I've only seen clips of it, which is a Mike Rosenhall? I'm not completely sure of his last name. But the executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond, it's a documentary where he goes to Russia to do the pilot. And the difference between like your relationship with your mother-in-law, which is fascinating. And it's him in rooms, like them not understanding what's funny about certain things. And they can't understand why you wouldn't just, you know, say, stick up. I forget exactly what it was, but it's very funny to watch.
The social contract is different.
Yeah, and I've only
in the family heard, dynamic.
Is it Mike Rosenhall? I think so. He's actually got like a travel show on Netflix now himself.
Great idea to film it.
Yeah,
something like
it's
that.
Like it's very very interesting
because there's Santo Chilaro of the Working Dog crew who make a lot of TV shows in Australia. I've heard him talk about going to, I think it was Italy, to make the Italian version of Thank God You're Here.
Yeah,
and it's fascinating. So this episode was broadcast on March 8, 2003. Just, we'll close that tab. Yeah, it was called It's Always Sunny in Moscow.
Phil Rosenthal, sorry. Not
Phil, Phil Rosenthal. Okay, tab's closed. This episode was broadcast March 8, 2003. So we've jumped forward a few weeks. The reign of Tattoo, All the Things She Said at number one is over.
Oh.
The queens are dead.
What's that?
Long live Christina Aguilera. Beautiful. The new number one as of March 8, 2003. There is a peculiar little connection to this show with this song. It was written by the front woman of Four Non Blondes.
Really?
Yeah, which is often referred to as one of the only records they have in the XFM libraries, Four Non Blondes.
There you go. Cut.
Movies released the day before this show, Autofocus and Made in Manhattan. Ralph Fiennes, some of his finest work.
In which one of those movies?
In Made in Manhattan. He went, I've played a Nazi leader of a concentration camp in Schindler's List. I've played a serial killer psychopath in one of the Hannibal movies. Time for a Jennifer Lopez rom-com. Sign me up and then I'll go play Voldemort.
His,
back in his natural habitat playing a creepy villain.
When he's in, he's the lead in Grand Budapest Hotel, the Wes Anderson movie. And I think one of the best comedic performances ever.
Mm.
I think, I'm like, how has he not done more of this? This is so funny.
He's very, very good in that movie. Also, hooked up with a Qantas air host.
What?
You know this story?
No.
And she like...
Like Mile High Club style?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
It's one of the, it's like attached to his narrative for me. It's like Schindler's List, Voldemort, Grand Budapest, rooting in the sky.
And was this revealed by the hostess?
Yeah, I think she was fired. I think she like sold her story and then was fired about like my mile high romance with an A-lister.
Wow.
Bit of business before we get to the air check. Congratulations to, what was his name? Simon H, I believe.
E.
Simon E. Simon E, congratulations. The winner of the competition scored a copy of the Carl's Childhood print. I believe, Zach, I haven't double-checked, but I believe we are now looking for a new content director. If anyone would like to essentially purchase a copy of the print, sign up to be our content director. It's only open to one person at a time. Robert Jailbird Banks has stepped down. So we're looking for someone new.
His reign of terror is over.
That's right. All right, let's get to the air check. Series 2, episode 29. Claire Sturgis is back. She's in for Carl. Ricky never believes when people are sick. That's one of the things from this show that hasn't aged particularly well.
Well, that's only changed in the last couple of years. But, yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. You wouldn't be mucking around with that today.
Yeah, there's
Do you reckon that will come back, though?
What, come on, push through?
Yeah, come on. You're just coughing a bit.
No, I don't think so.
We're in a new era.
Particularly if you can just go, well, I'll work from home today.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Do you relate to that?
World's a crazy place, isn't it?
Mad world, don't it?
Did you feel like, I remember once in radio, I was like, this is in community radio. I was real sick. Like, and I was just paneling a show, you know, just pushing the buttons. And I called the guy who was like my age, by the way. I'm like 19. The guy who was my point of contact. And I was like, I don't know if I can come in. And he's like, well, mate, you know, this is how it goes. You got to do it. What he said was he was paneling for B105 at the time, which was a big commercial station. And paneling at 18 or 19, once you're older, you're like, oh, that's not a job. You're like, that's entry level. But at the time, you're like, I am the most important person in this building. They've given the keys to the building to an 18-year-old. Obviously, that makes sense. Mm. Anyway, he was like, I've been paneling at B105 and I'll be throwing up between songs into a bucket. Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay. And I went in and I was like, I could barely lift my head. I was like, I had a flu. And it was like a pilot show, and they never asked me back. And I'm pretty sure it was because I was like,
it's because you killed two of them, didn't you? Probably. Spreading your infection.
And I'm thinking back on it now, and I'm like, that was so funny that it was put on me that, like, it was so important. It was community radio.
Come on, mate. There's no days off in radio.
But yeah, has it ever been put on you? It was kind of a thing that you don't miss shows.
No, I put it on myself. I tend to be more like Ricky of like, well, look, unless I'm really dead, then I just have a terrible guilt complex.
Yeah, but now you can reverse it. So what guilt is working out? Because now you feel guilty if you go in.
Totally. That is definitely a turnaround, which is like, well, I don't want to make all of you sick, so I'd better stay home.
It is bad. It is like there's no winners because I've had to pull out of like shoots before the day before for certain things. And I'm like, I don't know what to do because I have a sore throat. And this was in the midst of the pandemic. And I'm like, I know everyone's going to be angry at me for not being there. But at the same time, isn't everyone going to be angry at me for being sick there and coughing? Like if I cough, I'm going to get daggers and like, yeah, so no winners.
It's created this atmosphere for me where I'm afraid, just even in my relationship, to say like, hey, I'm not feeling 100% right now, because then Brooke will go, well, what if you make me sick? Then it's going to cause all sorts of shit. I'm like, it's creating an atmosphere where I don't want to tell you, mm-hmm. even though I should, because you'll be like, there's the risk of being demonized for spreading illness. But then at the same time, yeah, on the other hand, it's like the thing of like, well, if you ruin other people's day by doing the right thing, I don't know. It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's hard. It's a hard line to walk.
Especially for overthinkers.
Yeah. Which we're not.
No, of course not.
Straight down the line. They've all watched the documentary about Oliver, the human Z, on this episode. It's such a shame that Carl wasn't there to revel in it.
But it's okay because they can just recall what Carl's opinions would be. And that's what half the show is. They're knocking around what Carl had said to them earlier.
So Oliver the Humanzee, he lived from 1957 to 2012.
What?
He was 55 when he finally
joined that.
Climbed the big tree in the sky.
I wonder how that goes with, like, what's the life expectancy of a chimpanzee or a Humanzee?
Life expectancy of a chimp.
And then cross-reference it with...
Whoa!
Wow.
33.
Oh. They might be longer in captivity. Some animals go longer in captivity. Most seem to be less.
Oh, hang on. That was the one, you know, Google just shows you an answer at the top.
That's not super accurate.
So another one from CNN. Can chimpanzee live for 50 years? The lifespan for chimpanzees is 40 to 50 years in the wild, and for those in captivity, 50 to 60. Okay. Pretty standard. Well done. But 2012.
That's 60 years, that's a long time for a monkey to be alive.
Oliver could have, in theory, seen the movie 2012.
Would have been around for the Planet of the Apes remakes. Would have loved that. Probably consulted on it about what it's like to be a half human, half ape.
If you like it, if you don't like it, throw feces at it. Would have seen the Avengers, would have seen the culmination of...
What year was Marvel's Oliver born?
1957.
Oh, okay, sorry.
There for Beatlemania.
Yeah.
There for Live Aid.
Probably didn't know the elephant that died in the World War II bombing.
Just missed that, sadly. He would have seen the first, he would have seen the first Planet of the Apes and all the sequels.
Would have been around for monkeys going in space.
Been like, why didn't I get the call?
That was probably early 50s.
I'm a human Z.
When was that? When did monkeys go to space?
When did first, I know what the first being animal creature
a that dog? Went
dog called Laika. You know how I know that? From the XFM show. When did first monkey go to space?
Early on, they weren't even trying.
1948, so missed that.
But would have been raised with that knowledge, which I think would have been a proud moment.
Mm. What to aspire to.
Yeah.
Like our people, you could be prime minister or president one day.
You could go to space.
You could go to space. Break two, Ricky chastises Claire for plugging Coldplay appearing on a different show.
also interrupting him.
Yeah, interrupting.
Which kind of feels like a joke and also kind of feels like it's not. it's like 80% joking, 20% real.
It's like later when they're trying to get Carl's message and Ricky keeps setting it up. You can tell that to be fair,
that did seem like a fairly basic thing that Claire was unable to do on the desk. I was like, doesn't she take calls on her show? Yeah. Maybe it was like a difference between being live and being pre-recorded or something. Or maybe like sometimes the desks for different shows, they reset and they have different kind of wiring. Well, not wiring, but you know, routing, or I don't even know how to say it, but they work differently for different shows.
Did you find it weird that Carl has a home phone number?
Yes, we were talking about this morning.
Do you have a home phone?
Don't have a home phone, but I was thinking, I'm not someone who's afraid of. You know, there's a thing now of like anxiety around talking on the phone with like younger generations. They would rather text than talk. I'm happy talking on the phone.
I'd rather TikTok than talk.
But I do think it's wild that we used to pick up our phones without having any idea who it was. And you're happy to, it's like, yeah, you get to talk to me if you call my number. I don't get any say in it.
This is a fun radio bit, a phoner, 1-triple whatever. How did you answer your phone? Did you ever do that?
I didn't, but do you want to know how I did it as a kid?
Yeah, so the bit goes, you call in and go, all right, we've got Zach.
Is this like a classic bit, is it?
I've never heard it. Oh, okay. Zach from Brisbane. We're going to play a phone ring and pickup sound, and then you answer the phone how you answered it as a kid. All right, you ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Zachary Timothy Mander, how may I help you?
Really?
Yeah, and I often got the, and I'm like 8 years old, and I often got like the response, wow, what?
It's got a round of applause on the other end.
What a polite young man. Why I gave my whole name, I don't know.
Yeah. Middle name and everything. Do it for me.
Bring, 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 bring.
Hello, Ferrier Household. David speaking.
Oh, that's good. It's a little more casual, but still has an air of pomp.
There was a thing at a time where people would say the last 4 digits of their phone number to like 2674.
No.
To make sure that they'd called the right place.
See, what I've stopped doing now when I pick up my phone
is saying, what?
Is giving my name if it's unknown. Because
that's impressive. I won't answer if it's unknown.
But sometimes I do because I think they're chasing up something important. I just go, hello.
Or you've won a competition.
And they go, is that Zach? And I go, depends who's asking. This is the difference between if.
That's such a dick thing to say.
No, I don't say depends who's asking. I say, what's this regarding?
Who wants to know?
I say, what's this regarding? Because. The difference between you and I is probably how many bills people are chasing. I think that's because you don't want to disclose that they've called the right number.
But if I am in that position, so you're in deep with a loan shark, I'm assuming.
By the way, depends who's asking. It's always the person.
Of course.
That's why you don't say it. That's why you say, what's this regarding?
That's what I was going to say is if someone answers a phone, a mobile phone that I've called, and I say, hi, is this Zach? And they go, well, what's this regarding? It's clearly you and you are being cagey because you've got gambling debts. What is it?
No, it's just occasionally. It's not because I'm in trouble and I need to be bailed out. It's just sometimes I forget to pay some of those bills and sometimes they call you and ask you to pay. Okay. But what it really is, what I'm trying to avoid is like marketers, they try to get you into a conversation before they tell you what it is because they want to build up a bit of a rapport. I want to cut straight to what the deal is. Do you get what I mean? So they go, how's your day today, sir? And I'm like, okay, like, look, man, what are you trying to sell?
Yeah.
Like, and then they get shitty, but I'm like, you're not doing this out of the goodness of your heart. Like, this is your, like, do you know what I mean? When like charity door knockers come around, and occasionally they probably are volunteers, but most of the time they're contractors. They're a third party. They're not connected to the charity. They're just getting paid. And then they put on like a guilt trip for you. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you knocked on my door at my house. You've interrupted my day and now you're going giving me a big guilt trip about something that I never even knew existed until 30 seconds ago.
But you say what's this regarding, get straight to the point because potentially you might consider it?
No, no, I'm trying to get to the end of it.
Okay.
In a polite way, I'm trying not to be a dick. I try to go like, oh, sorry, not today, not interested, thank you.
Yeah. I'll always try to make eye contact and just cut them off. I'll go, I'm so sorry, not interested, thank
eye
you.
Contact on the phone.
Yep.
Or do you mean in
get
person
me on FaceTime.
When they come up?
Although that hasn't happened in a long time. I haven't had a knock at the door in a long time.
Well, you're in an apartment. I had to call. I put in a complaint to one company because my wife, she had said it was for a certain charity and she said, I already give to that cause or something.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, which one? Because we're the only ones. So, like, you know, started to like... like question her about it. She's like, I don't need to answer this. Get off my deck. Like, and he like went through gates. Like, you know, so it's like, you can't go through a closed gate.
Uh-huh.
And it's like walked onto our property, was like looking through the window. She said, I can't come out. I've got a child. And the guy was like, we'll do it through the window. And it's like, mate, get lost.
Which one? Basically saying, prove it.
I just don't like, I feel very invaded if people come into my house. Like,
I know the layout as well. They have to come upstairs and go through gates.
Yeah, I'm like, no, that's not cool.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
That's too far. You've crossed the threshold.
Yeah.
The baseball bat's coming out. where are we up to? Carl, the home phone number. I think Carl is compared to a chimp for the first time in this break because they're talking about Oliver the Humanzee. And someone suggested that they don't do a show if Carl isn't available.
It's borderline that.
No, not a bad idea.
Because they don't, I mean, Steve has the story about going to America. Besides that, there's a lot of Carl's not picking up. We'll try again later.
Come on, let's bully Carl into answering his phone.
It's pretty funny. The reason why it's entertaining is the idea of Ricky going, like, I know you're listening. Okay. And then later when he changes the voicemail, that's really funny.
Yeah.
That he doesn't pick up, but he'll change his voicemail to be a reference to what they're talking about. I thought that was very good move by Carl and very clever.
So in break three, they talk about the Oliver, the Humanzee, and Steve talks about the bit where he was on a Japanese TV show with the band The Monkees. So Steve quotes the section, and I actually have the bit here.
Contributing to the debate were members of the 1960s pop group, The Monkees.
I'm very interested to find out exactly what he is. Hey. We're here because we are also monkeys. Hey.
Of course, the one thing Oliver was never confused with being was a monkey.
How's that burn? Not only is it a cringe, unfunny thing to say, he's in a studio audience and you can see he says, because I'm also a monkey. No one laughs.
Crickets.
And then the voiceover comes in again and says, no one thought he was a monkey, dickhead. Let's listen to it one more time.
Contributing to the debate were members of the 1960s pop group, The Monkees.
I'm very interested to find out exactly what he is. Hey. We're here because we are also monkeys. Hey.
Of course, the one thing Oliver was never confused with being was a monkey.
You got a feel for the band there because I don't think that was their idea.
To be there.
You know, when the publicist is like, all right, what have we got on today? You're going to be in a studio with a chimpanzee and like, oh, are you kidding me?
All right, we're on tour in Japan. What do? Do we go see some sumo wrestling, some of the great sights of Tokyo or wherever we are? What are we doing today, Mr. Manager?
Well, we're going to be in a studio and you'll be playing with a chimpanzee.
Why?
Because we're called the Monkees and it's kind of a monkey or similar to a monkey.
All right.
Don't bring that up though. It's a bit touchy.
Oh, okay.
Just call it a monkey. I mean, it's not unprecedented. Famously, the Beatles played on that termite mound that time. Do you remember?
No.
Yeah.
Did they? When? The Beatles are one of those bands that's so ubiquitous, the Beatles, that it took me a long time to realize it was a pun.
Yep. Oasis played in the desert.
Beatles termite.
I just made that up, man. That's a joke.
Well done. Well done.
Shambles.
Do you remember when Coldplay played in that air-conditioned theater?
I was like, oh, Oasis played it. Okay, that's cool. That would have looked cool. Maybe for a music video.
That's a Rockbusters deep cut there.
What's that?
The Coldplay one.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Dave.
I've turned the
air conditioning. Come on, man.
Sorry.
You're the expert.
You're throwing
on
so
show.
Much at me. We find out then that Ricky and Steve have been to the US to talk about doing The Office for the United States. And here we are, 9 seasons later, legendary show, million Emmys, all started back here in 2003.
And isn't it funny that they're also talking over the just details? It's like, it won't be us. So it's going to be American actors doing it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it ever was discussed. Yeah. I mean, I assume it was briefly discussed that Ricky would, even just Ricky, like, is it an American office where they get a UK boss maybe?
Yeah, David Brent has immigrated.
I don't think so, because Ricky's been pretty adamant from the start that he was like, no, it has to be. So they seem to understand that it is, the success is relevant to the market. You know, like it has to be. You guys, because I remember him saying like, oh, you guys have to come up with stuff that Americans will find interesting. Mm.
It has to have the veneer of realism, whereas if it was like, oh, we've got this wacky UK boss, that would add like a gimmick.
I wonder if too, like, it seems like the UK one seems like dark, you know, like The Office is kind of like crowded and small and everyone seems pretty depressed. Or like at least flat. And then the American one is in this industrial park, you know, in kind of like this fairly unattractive regional part of America. No offense to anyone from Scranton. Mm. But that's the impression I get. What do you think would be if they did the Australian one? I just think our offices are like influenced so heavily by, you know, the UK and America. Do we have our own identity in that area? I know Australians as people, maybe we do, but I don't know.
It'd be like an industrial park in some miserable part of
Melbourne.
Yeah, but why
is that any different to the American one then, or the UK one?
It's not. I don't necessarily think it's a great idea to do an Australian version.
We've also had our own workplace. Isn't Utopia basically a workplace comedy?
Yes, and the show, by the same people...
The Librarians?
No, it was in the 90s. It's about like a current affairs style show.
Oh, yeah.
Frontline. Highly recommend tracking it down. It is very dated in terms of its look, but the comedy, I watched it years after The Office, and I was like, this has office-ness about it before The Office came out.
The other kind of Australians who've made a lot of TV, you can count them on one hand.
Yeah. you got... The Chaser, Sean McAuliffe. They're all men.
Well, these guys are husband and wife. Oh, my goodness. Wayne.
Oh, the librarian people. Yeah.
What's their last
Very one? Small business.
That's
Very
what
small
I'm
business.
Thinking of. That's what I'm thinking of. Very small business.
Yeah. So it's been done. Move on. How good does Virgin Upper Class sound?
Yeah, man, first class anywhere sounds amazing.
But not just the experience on the plane. Someone picks you up.
Yeah. I've seen this in LAX. There's like another... I've seen Tony Hawk. If you follow Tony Hawk on Instagram, he's like...
Oh, he goes this, the private entry thing?
Yeah, there's like this... It's like this little hut on the side of the it's like a little demountable on the side of the runway, basically. And you get your own room. It's like an Airbnb. And like a limo takes you out to the plane. Can you imagine being in the plane? This probably happens in LA all the time. You're like on the tarmac. You're like, what's holding us up? You see this limo pull up. Tony Hawk gets out on a skateboard. Bloody Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk, come on, mate.
Have you ever flown first class anywhere?
No. I've flown business class domestically.
Yeah, same. And it's great.
It was awesome.
Like, how much... I hate flying so much, but the amount that flying first class internationally would totally turn that 180 degrees and it would be the best experience ever. Like, if I could lie down... And get fed food that doesn't make me sick. That would be a dream.
It makes flying. It takes it from something you need to tolerate
to
something that is genuinely enjoyable.
For some reason.
It's such a big difference. And that's why it's not twice as expensive. It's like seven times as expensive.
And then when you go up to those high end and you can get down this rabbit hole on YouTube. Have you seen like where you have like your
own
apartment?
I've watched Casey Neistat in the Etihad first class penthouse. Where you can take a shower and order caviar on demand and they make your bed for you. I've been down that rabbit hole. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because we're both tall. I feel like it's maybe it certainly is something that is alluring to me, the idea of flying comfortably.
Being tall doesn't help, but I don't think it's comfortable for anyone. Like, you'd have to be the size of like a small child for it to feel luxurious. To like, every time I get in a plane.
It did when I was 9 years old.
In the economy section, I'm like, have they made this smaller? Yes. Every time. I think they're just, it's like an office prank where they're like inching the seat centimeters closer to you each time just to see the point where you crack it. And the point that someone gets up and starts yelling and you see those scenes in the news of someone who's had this huge meltdown on a plane, they're like, okay, let's take it out just 1 centimeter. That's the line. That's as far as we can push it.
I swear they are taking the measuring tape after every flight.
It's worse than, like, the bus. It's worse than the train. There's no other form of transport that gets your knees so close to you. And then there's no other form of transport that makes you sit there for 9 hours.
Mm. Yeah, you can't even lie down in the center aisle. I've tried. So you get picked up if you're in Virgin Upper Class. You get a massage during the flight. And on board, there is also...
I swear to God, lovely free plums.
Not on board, in the lounge beforehand. We then get into the story of how the day went poorly for Steve. He got there and his passport was expired. I think Steve is a really, really good producer of this show. He's also a really good storyteller in this instance, because the way he sums up his day.
I began the day in a chauffeur-driven car on my way to Los Angeles to discuss business with Universal Television Pictures, and I ended the day on the tube in a suit with my luggage, stood next to one of the posters advertising this radio show, which was just embarrassing because people kept pointing and staring and laughing.
Yeah, hit the Curb Your Enthusiasm music. Yeah. We slowly zoom in on his face. Yeah, and I'm glad that it went that way, because the first half of the story, I was like, are they just telling this to brag? Like, I'm like, what's the point of this?
But even if they are, there's funny details in it, in that they're different attitudes towards it. Mm. Steve obviously has no experience, so he wore a suit.
Yeah.
Thinking he needed to look like a player. Whereas Ricky was like, well, I'm already in first class.
So wearing a suit is pretty funny.
Yeah. It feels very... We're watching Hello Ladies at the time. Yes. That story feels very Hello Ladies.
100%. Also, so he couldn't go? In Australia, if your passport has expired, that takes 6 weeks or something.
You can pay to have it rushed.
Oh, it's what, then
really
there?
Expensive, yeah. Oh. No, you have to go... Like he did, he was taken back into central London to go to the passport office.
I thought he was doing that in the airport.
No, because people lose their passports all the time overseas. So then you go to a consulate and pay an exorbitant amount of money to have it like rushed through.
Oh, so he had to catch the tube back to central London.
No, he says the chauffeur-driven car drove him back to there to drop him off. And then I assume he got on a plane the next day.
He seems very upset, like...
A couple days later.
Who tells you about this?
This part I thought was very sweet as well.
I didn't know passports expired.
Yeah.
I went, what do you mean? I went, he went, well, your driving license doesn't. I went, what are you talking about? He said, how old do you have to be to know that? He said, when will I know all these things?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that way?
Not
specifically about passports, but just...
I feel the opposite, right? So my wife and I, where were we? Oh, we were in like a... There's a university campus in Brisbane that's like half, it's spread out in a suburb, basically. So like you're kind of, we went to a shop that was like kind of on the campus. So there's all these university kids walking past and we're like, oh my goodness, they're young. And then we started to talk about like, I didn't have a burrito until I was in university. And I was like, hang on. So I thought I was so old, you know, I thought I was so grown up and I had never had a burrito. And so we were talking about like, the opposite kind of thing. It's like, oh, you don't, I guess this is what Steve's saying. Like, you don't realize how little you know until you look back on it.
Mm. That's so funny, the burrito thing. I don't think I ate sushi until I was 18.
Yeah.
And now it's like in canteens for children.
I think a part of it was like, I don't remember anywhere where you could get a burrito when I was a kid.
No.
Like there was no takeaway Mexican where we are. Not like a chain kind of thing like there is now.
The cuisine has evolved.
And I remember...
You used to not be able to get pizza in Australia, more or less, in the, like, 60s.
Oh, 60s. I was like, what are you talking about? Of course you could. But I remember when I found out there was rice on a burrito, I was like, what the hell? Because like, to me, I thought it was like some type... I thought it was like a kebab.
Mm.
And I'm like, it's full of rice. I remember talking to friends and being like, it's rubbish.
It's filler.
Yeah. So we're having carbs on carbs here.
I had a breakfast burrito on my way home this morning. I just dropped my girlfriend off at the airport.
Where from?
GYG. Guzman.
Yeah.
GYG.
They have
great
this
great breakfast burrito. It has a hash brown in it. It's amazing. Sauteed vegetables.
Yeah, they have scrambled like eggs. A mushroom one now because I'm a vegetarian and it's really good. Previously, their vegetarian option's not very good. And I know this is very detailed and probably useful to no one.
Who?
This is like only useful to vegetarians in Australia, which I don't know if we have one listener who that applies to.
If we do, get in touch. We'll send you something. I'm just curious to know this. As a vegetarian, which fast food outlet caters the best? Which has the best vegetarian food?
Mm. I don't know who has the best. The most options are Grilled. It's a burger joint that I don't think the UK would have. Yeah, they have a lot of different options. The best of that is the Impossible Burger, which would be available in the UK, which is like a patty that, I don't know. It's been five years.
The fake meat. The Rebel Whopper that Hungry Jack's
That's
had.
Different.
But oh, okay.
Sorry. It's a different brand. That's not bad either. There's so many options now. It's not hard to do. Whereas, like, if you were in the 60s or 70s, what would you eat?
Mm.
Vegetables.
Yuck. Oh. do you feel like you're old enough to help a truck driver reverse in?
Oh, that's a good space? One. Did you make that up?
No, that was in the show.
Oh, okay. I wasn't listening, obviously.
Clearly not.
I was like, that's a good marker of, like, a coming of age. Jumping out and be like, hang on, mate.
And then Steve says, I'm not old enough to go up to a, you know, a bartender or a publican and go, pint of beer, thanks, Chief.
Yeah, Chief.
I don't think anyone's old enough to do that.
I was at a child's birthday party on the weekend, like my niece, right? And so it was my first birthday party I've been to where I had a child the same age as the kids. So like the kids are running around and then the parents are sitting around. And I still, like, I didn't feel like I was old enough to be there, even though I'm well and truly old enough to be there. I have a kid. I'm in my 30s, but I still felt like that someone was going to come and tell me, like, oh, no, this is, you need to sit at the kids' table.
Yeah.
This is the adults' area.
Go play in the sandpit, Zach.
Yeah.
Break four. They're trying to chase up Carl. I then talk about, I'll sort of summarize here because they really just make the whole show about trying to get Carl and giving away his phone number, all that stuff. Talk more about Oliver the Human Z and the guy that fell in love with him because Oliver tried to hump one of the carers, whatever. Carl's changed his voice message.
Highlight of the show.
Yes. And we lead up to that with some classic radio technical faults.
Okay, don't like her. Yeah. Who don't we know? Anderson, Richard Anderson, I should just say, has got in touch.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hold on.
Oh, Claire.
No, I can do it. Just tell me Anderson.
Shambles.
Right, do you want me to go on a radio rant here? Because this is my thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking while we were listening to a dial tone, which is
excellent
entertainment. So I said at the start, bad technical radio, great entertainment. And this is where I think radio has killed itself. Why is this good and why is this entertaining? Because we don't know what's going to happen. It's live.
Mm.
Things are changing. You know, that's what podcasting can't do. That's what the radio show, when it's planned well, can't do. Like, because you don't have any room for something to happen. You just have, like, every break is filled. You have the story you're going to tell, where you're going to get out. You might even have the callers already lined up. So this feels spontaneous. It feels like we're live in the moment. We're listening to things changing. And that's what I think is missing from entertainment now. Don't you think? It was like you're listening and you're like, okay, we're going to go to a song. And when you're driving around, You feel like you're actually listening to someone in a room where something is developing.
Definitely. Well said, Zach.
And they haven't planned it out. And so it is technically bad radio, but I also think it's so refreshing to hear. And if radio was more like this more often, it might not be in the situation it is now.
I've always said the times that I lean in the most, if I'm listening in the car, is when something goes wrong.
Yeah, and it's also like, are they going to get Carl?
Yeah.
There's a reason to keep listening.
There is tension in this moment because we've been promised something and they keep delaying the gratification of it.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me like you are suggesting that we do this podcast live over the internet where people can interact.
Yeah, sure.
And we can take callers.
Yeah, we can do that.
I don't know how it would work with the time difference.
Every episode could be us trying to get Carl. Well, we've got his number now, don't we? How many digits did they read out?
Yeah.
Does he still have the same phone? I assume they didn't get to all the digits.
No, definitely not.
How many did they get, though?
Did you listen to this show? Have we...
No. They purposely, though, I think they purposely were a bit ambiguous. Like, they just kept adding.
They gave enough out and then he called.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, so... What's their phone number? Like 10 digits?
Eight? Yeah.
Whatever. But if it was like 9 out of 10, it'd be pretty easy.
They didn't get that far. I think they got 5.
Pretty easy to guess the last one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Which you then have to go 9 times or 10 times 10 times 10.
We're not doing that.
So here's Carl's message.
The thicket at the end of my garden. Shall I go and prod it to see if it's Carl?
sorry, I'm not in today, but not well on that. No more Rockbusters. I think that's what's affected me. It's got me down a bit.
So but, joking, yeah.
The doctor said I'll be back swinging on my tyre in no time.
So,
see you later.
So he was listening.
He's clearly listening.
So he was listening because we said about swinging on the tyre.
Message.
At any time.
Right. Carl.
And then they go on and leave an extended message.
Amazing. Amazing. Very funny from Even Carl. Genuinely annoyed. Ricky seems about the swing on the tire thing.
Even at homesick, he comes in and saves the show.
I even think the performance there was great.
Yeah.
Where, like, obviously, I'm not saying that he's not sick. I'm not saying he's banging that on, but the way that he talks about swinging on his tire, it's just perfectly the perfect amount of energy, the perfect. He doesn't nod to the fact of what he's doing too heavily. Do you get what I mean? So he's telling a joke. That's going to annoy Ricky, but he delivers it in a way that is believable enough.
The master. Let's take a quick break. I've just got a phone call I need to address and we'll come back to wrap up the show.
Okay.
And we're back. Break 8 of Series 2, Episode 29 is where we hear there's a thing in Men in Black 2 that looks like Steve. More just retelling stories that Carl told.
And I don't want to... offend Steve, but I knew what Carl was talking about. Like, as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, like, I know the reference you're making and I haven't seen that movie in 15 years. It's a very offensive comparison. Well, you don't want to be compared to an alien in any situation, do you? They're rarely attractive from a human point of view.
You don't often hear the phrase, that is a sexy alien.
Not often.
Name a sexy alien. But you can't do it.
Alien?
Can anyone?
Predator? Is Predator
the one
alien?
From Species? Isn't that a sexy alien?
I probably haven't seen enough alien content. I feel like in Fifth Element, is there not an element of like an attractive
there's a
alien?
Singer. There's the blue alien lady. She's quite attractive.
I think there's an idea that they're attractive. Isn't that a part of the story? I haven't seen that in 20 years either.
Answers on a postcard. What is the sexiest alien?
I'm sure that's a genre, right? I'm sure that's in sci-fi, people who are into sci-fi, I'm sure sexy aliens is like kind of a fantasy thing.
Alien porn videos. Yep, there is a tab on pornhub.com. Xvideos, videos tagged alien porn video. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, definitely. There's definitely a subgenre. In Break 9, Ricky and Steve attempt to embody Carl. I do like Ricky's impression of someone from the North.
Did I tell thee about me Auntie Flora, who shat herself for 3 hours once? Did I tell you? Oh, I don't...
Oh, there was a woman born
Carl,
once.
You have to phone us. We've got nothing.
Oh, God, he's so annoying. Little twat.
He's so annoying, but please call because we have nothing to talk about.
It's so annoying, but please call and save the show. So we'll jump ahead to break 10. Steve has a crush on the Scottish Widows lady. I'm going to I've got the ad for Scottish Widows. Sorry, people in the UK who are fully aware of the Scottish Widows. What service or product do you think the Scottish Widows provide?
A community for widows, like a friendship thing.
Oh, it's like a social group.
Yeah, yeah, they can connect you with other widows so that you have a community that you can do stuff with.
Okay, here's an ad for Scottish Widows in 2003. I'm assuming the one that Steve is talking about because the woman in this ad is very attractive. Zach's just coming around to watch.
Even in the most turbulent times,
someone in a cloak
Scottish widows has stood
walking
firm
up a beach.
Hottie.
That person's a lot younger than I'd expect.
Yeah.
Experience.
They're walking up a lighthouse.
Hang on, yeah, listen to this.
To guide
this
its customers year after year after year. Scottish Widows for life, pensions, and investments.
That is an extremely confusing ad. It looks like that she's going to some meeting of the occult some type of underground like stonecutters or Freemasons.
Like the secret society and Hot Fuzz.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. And it would have been a similar time.
Yeah, around about. Yeah, a couple of years different. But yeah, she's very young and attractive. But it's a pension investment fund.
I was imagining an older lady. Because he says, like, your husband's been dead for 20 years or something, doesn't he?
Oh,
when
yeah.
he's kind of doing a bit of a riff on it.
Yeah.
This person is probably mid-30s.
I reckon probably the original mascot for Scottish Widows was probably older.
Oh, this is a rip.
But they sexed it up for the 2000s.
I don't even understand. Why is she in a cloak? Why is she... Like, I guess the lighthouse is like, we're giving you... We're showing you where to go.
Mm.
We're giving you guidance. So the lighthouse works, and then there's it's in a storm, so you're in turbulent times.
Mm.
But the cloak.
I think you're right. I think she's dabbling in witchcraft. She's invested in a Ouija board. She's used some of
that. Is that what the investment is?
Yeah, to contact her dead husband. So then they wrap up the show by giving out more of Carl's phone number, talking about the A-Team. And Ian Camfield's love for the show. And then they finally get Carl on the phone. And he says something which will come back to haunt him for the rest of the run of the show.
Got that that shaky thing to get.
Yeah, that's because you didn't eat last time when Suzanne was at work.
Yeah, well, I think that's what brought it on. Plus, she was away in the week and I put some wet jeans on. And I think that's what's caused the problem.
Well, when did you put them on your head?
The parts of Carl are just... It's a great episode because it builds and then it delivers too. Like, I was thinking when they get him on, I was like, oh, well, it's going to be an anticlimax. But he gets so many laughs in just a few minutes.
Yeah. He does amazing.
Got
sick because he put wet jeans on.
Just well delivered and also kind of relatable. We've all kind of put slightly wet jeans on before, haven't we? Or am I revealing that I'm more like Carl than I'd like
definitely
to?
Definitely have. Definitely wet underwear.
This will dry on
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My body heat will be the dryer. So this whole show, they threaten to give away Carl's home phone number, which is a big... It's doxing. It's radio doxing. Giving out someone's personal information. But you have found, Zach, a bit of action on your TikTok recently. There is a fairly well-known ABC radio presenter who presents a garden program who willingly gives out her home phone number.
Yeah, I put this on my Instagram recently and I'm happy to share it here because I know that literally no one listening follows me. And there might be two people that have reached out over the time and they're like, I'm from Carly Pilk Boys. But no, I found her in 2019. We were doing a radio show and we found in Toowoomba, which is a regional center of Australia, they have a gardening segment on the news. So they have sport, weather, gardening. And so I was talking about that and someone said she also does a talkback segment. This is Penny McKinley reporting for Seven News. She does an ABC talkback segment where on the ABC, you're not allowed to give out brands. It's the BBC. And so what she'll do, she'll tell people, I'm not allowed to say what it is, but you can call me at home.
Okay, we've got a 25-second clip. This is actual real radio, and you'll hear Zach in the middle of this as well.
Phone me at home. I'm there 24/7, and I can give you the names of the chemicals.
She then proceeded to give out her actual home phone number and told listeners that they can call at any time of day with their gardening questions.
Okay, any time good?
Any time will suit. Right. Just okay. Let me get home.
Can you imagine getting a call at 2 a.m. like, hey, I'm worried about my fiddle leaf fig.
Go on, darling, what's wrong with...
I don't know, it just hasn't been acting itself lately.
I didn't include it there, but it's just like 546-297. Like, she gives out just her phone number. Isn't that incredible?
It's adorable. It's really sweet and...
I know.
Lovely.
It's a nice way to live.
So Toowoomba, not far away from here, you're a gardening man. Have you ever called up and asked about bees or peach trees?
To her gardening show? Call or her just home. Generally?
Just call, her and say hello.
I haven't. I'm a little... Actually, a journalist contacted me because they were doing a story on her. And I don't think it ever came out. But they said they had...
It was too hot for the presses.
Well, I don't know what happened to her.
We've got to bury this story.
They said they've reached out to her and she was a little... she was a little put off by... Not put off, but like she said for the first day she was hiding from the fame. And then now the journalist said to her, but if it gets more people into gardening, aren't you excited? And she said, yes, that's a good point. So I was wanting to go up there and visit her and record some stuff with her, but I was like, oh... I'd thought she'd be really, I don't want to make her camera shy, but I don't think she will be because I've seen a lot of stuff of her where she's definitely not camera shy.
Mm.
On the news, she's very vigorously talking about different plants.
But so some, like last week I was saying how I want to reach out and try to get Carl this show, but I don't necessarily, I'm not sure if I want to attract more attention to what this little cult that we have. Like her, she's happy just giving it out to the people who are listening, but she doesn't necessarily want it to become widely known.
Well, I think I was afraid of, I don't want her to think that I'm making fun of her because that's not what I'm doing. I genuinely think it's amazing.
Mm.
And I think it's one of the great things that happens in regional centres where you get these characters, which you don't get in big cities because it kind of all gets like, it's kind of what we're talking about with this show. It's like when you have media, when it's on a high stakes, you get some big week coming in and being like, this is how we do it. It's tight. It's bright. You can't have any new ideas. You can't kind of be these eccentric characters. But in regional centres, you do get that.
Mm.
And that's what we love.
Special. That's it for Series 2, Episode 29. Get in touch with us, carlypookboyspod@gmail.com. I think we're looking for a new content director. If you'd like to be our boss, sign up. It's like $40. You get a copy of the print. There's only 5 in existence currently, and you would get the 3rd one. Zach on TikTok, Instagram, get around it, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
The auntie Flora, who shat herself for 3 hours once.